Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am doing wonderful, thank you.
All right, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
We are doing well.
Praise the Lord. We'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in one more time. We are excited about getting together and studying the Word of God. Jump right in, open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. We pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us even now, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives with others, and that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight we want to pick up in the New Testament book of James, the New Testament book of James. And when we're looking at this New Testament book of James, what we're trying to do is we want to look at practical ministry. In other words, you know, a lot of times you hear about the Word of God. You hear about, you know, walking in faith. You hear about the promises of God. You hear about, you know, the things that, you know, Christians are supposed to do. But I think, Sheila G, Dr. G, one of the things that really begins to start allowing us to live what Jesus called a life, a new life, or life more abundant, an abundant life, is when you begin to start actually applying these principles into our lives.
Right.
And you know, James was one who he didn't pull any punches. And I love the way he starts his letter off, Dr.
Yeah,
G.
Yeah.
If you look at James, first chapter, verse 1,
mm-hmm.
he didn't come with any titles.
No.
He didn't come with the Reverend Dr. Bishop, pastor of the Church of Jerusalem, mm-hmm. brother of Jesus, great apostle, blah, 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 blah. He just starts off. And verse 1, James, a servant mm-hmm. of God.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have bragged that, you know, I'm the half brother mm-hmm. of Jesus.
All
you
right.
know, I'm the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. I mediated over the great controversy over circumcision. I'm the one that did all of this. He just said, look, I'm James, a servant.
That's right.
And you know, When you look at it, you're serving God. You look at that. You're beginning to. Can you turn number 7 down for me, just ahead. You're looking to just be a servant and do the will of God. And in order to do that, Sheila G, you got to learn how to recognize that it's about God and it's not about myself.
Right.
And when you recognize it's about God and not about myself, what happens? Yeah. What happens is now you can begin to focus in on what God wants you to do.
Right.
And in James 1, chapter 1, verse 1, he says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And so he understands that his ministry is to minister to the tribes, to those that are scattered abroad.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times we focus on ministry being about us.
Amen.
We're not serving God. We're not serving God's people.
Nope.
Serving
us.
Right.
Ooh. So what happens is you have a whining ministry about what? About, I can't see that. We have a whining ministry about what I'm not getting. A whining ministry about what somebody's not doing for me. What whining ministry about what someone's saying about me.
Mm-hmm.
But James is saying, I'm a servant of God and I'm working to minister to God's people. I don't have time. You can talk about me. You can call me everything you want. You can call me. You can say what you want. But I'm serving God and I'm serving God's people.
Right.
And so all these other things that try to sidetrack me, I'm not even worried about.
That's right.
This is the practical ministry. So when you get into ministry, you say this is how it's going to be. I'm going to please God by serving His people,
mm-hmm.
and that's my ministry.
Right.
And when I'm pleasing God by serving His people, I'm not going to get upset when they start talking about me and being ungrateful and doing all kind of crazy things. I'm not gonna get upset because I'm serving them because I love God and I love them.
That's right. That's where your focus is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my focus is. So in order for us to really be effective in ministry, in order for it to become practical, those are the two things that we got to understand. We're serving God and we're serving God's people. We
mm-hmm.
serve God because we love Him.
Amen.
We serve God's people because we love Him.
Right.
That's why I can remain in the servant's role, and that's why I can be effective.
Right.
Sheila G?
That's right. And as long as you're doing it unto the Lord, then what man or what human or what you see doesn't matter. It's like a lot of times that's what you have to pray for is, Lord, even though this person may have persecuted me, I'm still going to serve them. I'm going to do what you tell me. I'm not going to look at that person. I'm going to look at what God wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, God gives me that peace of mind that even though that person is coming up against me,
mm-hmm.
I got the blood of Jesus protecting me from whatever comes at me.
Right. So, Dr. G, the mm-hmm. perspective that James has is right off the bat, it's saying, it's not about me, it's about God. And if we can have that perspective, I think that helps us get through some of the frustration that goes along with trying to live for God or in ministry.
Yeah, you're right, because working in this field can be very frustrating. I mean, you can preach and teach and do everything that you're supposed to, but you know the physical part or the emotional part of us, you know, we want to see some sort of response that
mm-hmm.
people are receiving
mm-hmm.
what we're doing, that they appreciate
mm-hmm.
what we're doing. But many cases it's not going to happen. And what we have to stay focused is understanding that we are, number one, a servant of God. Our job is to serve Him.
Mm-hmm.
I've often preached a message where it says, my job is working for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is right, He'll pay.
Yeah.
And so we have to stay focused on that. It's not about what the people receive. I mean, we would love for them to receive it. But whether they get it or not, our job is to give it to them.
Right.
And if you love God,
mm-hmm.
you keep in mind that the titles and the fame and all of that other stuff
right.
don't mean a thing.
And that's why it can't be lip service. It has to be in you. It has to be your life. It has to be the way you live. You can't say, I'm serving God and not serve God
mm-hmm.
and turn your back on man. Mm-hmm. You can't say, I'm serving God, and because you're friendly towards me, I'm going to help you out. But because you didn't speak to me the other
Uh-oh.
Sunday,
pick
I'm not going to help you out. Just pick and choose. It's all about God, but it has to be how you live your life.
Amen.
Right. And so what happens is once you're in that servant role and you're serving God and you're serving his people and you love God, what happens is God – he understands our makeup
mm-hmm.
and he understands our limitations. Let me say that again. See, some people don't think they got limitations.
Mm.
Amen.
All right.
I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Got a whole lot of limitations.
Amen.
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 And if you talk to me or stroke me the wrong way, you'll see how bad limitation is.
Amen.
And so what God, he sees us as a work in progress. We're a servant that's a work in progress. And so God has to, while we're still serving him, while we're still serving his people, he has to mold and shape us while we're still serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of the drama comes in the church, is that everybody has to realize that we're all still a work in progress.
Amen. That's right. Every last one of
us.
And so while I'm serving you, I'm not going to be perfect.
Come on. Come on.
Every time I get a coffee, it's not going to be at that perfect temperature
Amen.
That you want.
That's right. That's right.
Every time I serve you those French fries, I might not have the Heinz ketchup. I might have picked up the Hunts by
mistake.
Come on.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
And so you have to understand that I'm serving you, but I'm not going to be perfect. And I have to understand that you're not going to be perfect too.
Nope.
Right.
And we're a work in progress. And then you have to throw into the mix that the enemy is going to try to
make it worse. Make it worse. Make it worse.
So not only do I have shortcomings.
Hello.
Not only do you have shortcomings, but the enemy is going to try to come in and take advantage of that and pit you against me.
All right.
Right.
So we got a lot going on.
And he does that to get our focus off God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's why it's like little stupid things, which when you think about, why are we disagreeing over something simple like this, which is totally getting our focus off God.
Right.
And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to, he'll
right.
do whatever. He'll use that chair if he has to.
Exactly.
And you know, well, I wanted to sit there, but I wanted
exactly.
to sit there. So you're arguing about who's going to sit where.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, you know, you're supposed to be here worshiping, praising God.
Right,
Amen.
Right.
And, too, with that, you know, we have to keep in mind that, you know, we are supposed to be working for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we do, God is the one that's supposed to get the glory out of what we do.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. And so with that, okay, we're serving. And, you know, we're serving God, we're serving each other. And then we understand we have challenges where we come up short sometimes. The thing is not to get upset,
mm-hmm.
but we have to have mercy.
Yes.
We have to have patience. It's hard to have patience sometimes when you're tired. Though.
Come on.
Yeah, you have to have patience.
It's hard to have patience when you're cheering, don't understand.
Well,
yeah.
It's hard to have patience when your parents are old school and they don't understand.
All right now, come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's hard to have patience for somebody that's 70 and you're 20.
Amen.
Amen. It's hard to have patience with people your same age that are on your job.
Amen.
Just act like they're 10.
Amen. It's hard to have patience when your wife knows better and she's still acting fool. It's hard to have patience when your husband knows better and he's still acting fool.
Come on.
And you know, sometimes it's hard to be patient with ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, when we want it, we got to have it right now. We're not understanding that God has a plan, but we're getting frustrated with ourselves because we're allowing ourselves to be so hung up and caught up instead of waiting on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what God does is he allows us to go through what I call these training courses.
Amen. Mm-hmm. God knows they are.
Training courses so we can get better.
Hello.
That's right.
How many like training courses?
It's like being in the military.
How many, if you can't do 5 push-ups, and they said, we want you to do 25 push-ups because you'll be strong enough to be able to handle this job that I have for you.
That's right.
He's like, man, I can't even do 5 push-ups. How are you going to tell me I'm going to be able to handle this job? God said, I need you to train to be able to rip those muscles, get strong enough to be able to handle this where I want you to be over here.
That's right.
So God would tell you, you can't get out of it.
You may as well get to working.
That's what you're going to do. You can do it in 2 years. You can do it in 3 years. You can do it in 5 years. You can do it in 1 month. But you're going to do it.
All right.
So you need to go through the training course.
That's right.
The training course is to get you to get stronger so you can get better, so you can fulfill the purpose that God has for you.
That's right.
And so in verse 2, he says, look, this is practical as it can get. In verse 2, James, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Mm.
In other words, be glad when you go through these training courses.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, it's going to benefit you.
That's right.
And it's going to give God the glory.
That's right.
So if it's going to benefit you and it's going to give God the glory, you should be happy about it. Right?
Yeah, we should.
We should.
Well, I always tell people there's a difference, and I tell the church all the time, that there's a difference between joy and being happy.
Yeah.
Happy is an emotion.
Yeah.
Joy is you can have the joy of the Lord even in the midst of your storm.
Right.
And that's when you say count it all joy. I can have joy knowing that God is right there with me through it all.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Tears may be streaming down my face, but I got joy
right. Because
I know that God is going to help me through this.
And God's going to get the glory.
Right. And as long as I praise him through my mess, he will help me get through my mess.
Or through my test. And this is what God is saying. They say, I want you over here. I need you to be strong enough to handle this position right here. This is it. But in order for me to get you there, I need to work on that mess that you got.
Right.
You only want to do 5 push-ups. How many of us only want to do 5 push-ups?
Well.
But we want to be strong.
We want to be strong, Christian.
Right.
But we don't want to.
But we only want to go through the training.
Basic training, right?
We just want to go basic training. But
right.
God said, I can't put you in that position. You can only do 5 push-ups.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
That's
you're going to get your butt whooped.
Yep. That's right.
So God doesn't want us to go to that place and get our behinds whooped. He wants us to get strong, so he's going to put us in a test so that we can get stronger, so we can handle that he wants us to go.
That's right.
Everybody want to get in shape, but nobody want to work at it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. I want the 6 packs without the sit-ups.
Everybody want to lose weight, but nobody want to give up the ice cream.
Hell.
Don't even want to walk.
Everybody want to have the 6-pack, but they can't get rid of the oil.
Ouch! No, that's why you'll see on TV all these little diet pills. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to exercise. You don't have to watch your food.
Reiterates that in James 1 verse 4. He says, all right, we're back. Hopefully everyone's going to call back in. But we got disconnected. For whatever reason, we got disconnected. When you start talking about them demons and how to start defeating those demons,
uh-huh. He
going to shut down
he
the whole
mad.
Line.
Oh, my goodness. Like, excuse me? Don't give him the trick.
He going to shut down the radio.
Don't give the trick to the trade.
Oh, my goodness.
Each step higher, higher.
Oh, my goodness. When you start talking about I'm pulling on my past victories and you got to come with something stronger than that.
He did.
He was like, okay, I'm going to shut all y'all up. Oh, my goodness. What?
I'll show you.
But that just lets you know.
Yeah.
That just lets you know.
It's like, don't tell them that secret.
Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. Oh, my gosh. And so when you look at James 1:4, he says, but let patience have her perfect work. When people say perfect, you're never going to get to the point where mm-hmm. you're not making any mistakes.
Right.
But when you're striving for that perfection, it's a constant work.
Right.
A work of perfecting.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's a perfecting process where you're constantly getting better. Where 2 years ago, if someone would have cussed you out, you would have ended up in jail.
Exactly.
Now somebody cuss you out, you just pray for them.
Amen.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm getting perfected because I understand that there's something troubling you, that you're upset. Well, you got to act that way. So I need to pray that God would deliver you from whatever's upsetting you.
Right. Amen.
And so when he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect in time, wanting nothing. In other words, God wants to get you to the point where you're relying totally on him,
mm-hmm.
and that everything you need, you can go to him for.
Right.
So that's a perfect relationship with God, that your resource is God. And so that whatever happens, this is how we establish and build our relationship, a strong relationship with God, that God says, okay, I'm going to get you to this place where you got a challenge, but I'm not going to just leave you in the challenge, but I'm going to show you how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got to that challenge. You got to that training place. Now you know how to get out of it. Now you're perfected in that area.
Right.
Now I need you to perfect in another area.
Right.
So I got to train you in another. I got to give you another trial so you can get into that. And so the whole saying is no test, no testimony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if I don't put you through a test, you're never going to know that your faith in God to work it his way
right.
is going to be good enough to get you through it.
Amen.
That's right, because if you don't have a test for God to bring you through, you're going to think that it's all you.
Right.
Mm. You're going to think that I'm this perfect, wonderful person. I don't need God. But when you go through a test, that's when you realize that the Lord is right there with you, and that's why your faith and your dependency becomes more and more on him. And sometimes he's just plain old bragging on you.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. And when you begin to start understanding that, when you're going through the test, you're like, okay, God, what am I learning today?
Right.
What am I learning through this? why am I in this?
Amen.
I know I'm supposed to serve you, and I'm supposed to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going through my drama. And this test is, I'm not feeling this because these push-ups are wearing my butt out.
Hello.
Not eating these Oreo cookies is killing me.
Come on.
Not eating this Snickers bar is wearing me out. But the thing is, God is saying, I need you to fast from that. I need
mm-hmm.
you to build up. So when you get to a point and somebody else needs this help, I need you to already have been through it so you can help them.
Amen.
So now you're serving me, now you're serving them, and now I'm getting the glory from you having gone through. That's the toughest thing for Christian is God gets the glory by us going through and helping somebody else and get to where you are. Where you are is where he wants them to be, so he's going to send you through that trust, that training,
right.
So that there's a point where they make it over, and you get the glory.
That's right.
And I mean, the God gets the glory. I'm sorry.
God gets the glory. That's right. That's right.
So that's the kingdom principle that James is teaching here. He's saying you got to have some humble servant's heart.
Mm.
You got to love his people.
Mm.
You got to make your faith practical.
Mm.
And you got to understand that when you begin to start doing that, there's going to be tests. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be trials. But you can still have joy in that because you got to be like God. God sees the beginning and the end at
Amen.
The same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again.
Amen.
Yeah.
God sees the beginning and the end at the same time.
That's right.
So in other words, you got to already see yourself at them 25 push-ups.
All right.
You got to already see yourself at, if you want to lose 30 pounds, you already got to see yourself at losing those 30 pounds.
Right.
You got to already see call those things that are not as if they were.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You got to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to say, I'm healed by his stripes, I'm healed. That's faith in action. When we first started Heart of God Church, we didn't have a piano player, and we were at Central High School, and we had a keyboard. And I would bring the keyboard. We would bring the keyboard loaded up, and my kids looking at me like I'm crazy. My wife is looking at me like I'm crazy. The church members are looking at me like I'm crazy. Uh-huh. And I dragged it. It up and I go over there, ding, 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 ding. Tune it up and play my what? They said, what is wrong with him? Why are we going through these things? And I would tell him that if we're looking for a keyboard player, why don't we have the keyboard set up?
That's right.
Why don't we have the keyboard and why don't we have it set up?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're walking in faith,
right.
Saying, believing God,
right.
that I'm. This is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, evidence is I'm acting like I already got it.
Right.
That's the evidence. I already got a keyboard player. So if I already trust in God, I know I got a keyboard player. I got the keyboard and I'm setting it up and it's ready to play. So when God honors our faith and sends the keyboard player, he just comes in and starts right up.
That's right.
Go ahead, Sheila C. Go on, tell it.
What?
Tell your story.
Okay, she's not going to tell her story. So what we have to understand is that God is expecting us to get to a place where we're looking at the beginning and the ending at the same time. And when you can look at the beginning and the ending at the same time like he is, we understand that there's going to be a process to get there, but I can have joy because I know God's going to get me there.
Mm.
Right.
Is everybody tracking with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the studio audience and see if they understand that process of having that faith to know that God sees the beginning from the end and that we're going to get there and we can have joy even though we're going through the test.
I guess, in a sense, it's kind of tough because having faith is, I guess it's easier said than done because I think the one thing with faith is you have to have patience. Because I know sometimes people may force the issue and think that, okay, this is it right here, but
then
realize that it's not. So I think one thing with faith, you know, closer to my goal or to what I'm actually, you know, believing is going to actually take place. But just remember, devil's going to throw a little monkey wrench in there, here and there.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to keep striving, keep your head down, and keep pushing. So I think you have to also keep in mind that we're speaking spiritually, but we're human, so there's a human aspect to it as well, because as a human being, you're going to have a bad day.
Absolutely.
At work. You're
going
to have
someone else
that's going to drag you down to where it's going to affect your spirit. So that's why also keep in mind that you're not in it by yourself. Have people that you can talk to, people who've been there, people that are in your circle to kind of keep you strong and keep you uplifted. And then the good thing is once you're blessed and you get to that point where your faith has shown something, now you can use that to help somebody else. Or when you get it, you'll be ready for it because now you knew what it took through the sleepless night, the different things. You'll appreciate it better because one thing, you know, a lot of people who have things given to them, they don't know how to handle it because they didn't have to work. They didn't have to go through nothing to get there. You know, and I'll be the first to tell you, when I had a job and had to start spending money, I understood what my parents were telling me when I didn't have a job and didn't have any money. And I'm just like, it's just $20, but ask me for $20 now. And I'm going to be like, you going to pay me back? You know, so now you understand, you get a different perspective. So I told my mom, I said, well, I'm going to give you $20 because now I know what I had to put through and what I had to go through to work it. So it's the same thing. So there's different phases, but I think the one thing you want to keep in mind is stay strong. Also realize that you're not in it by yourself. Try to have a group of people or someone you know you can lean on when things get tough. And just remember to kind of just keep, you know.
Exactly. All right. We tried a different route. Let's see if we can get somebody on the air. Hello. Is this 2122?
Hello.
2122. Happy Thursday.
2122. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
This is Brother Lee. You know, as I was reading, I'm just doing fine. Thanks for asking. But, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5,
Brother
verse
Lee?
20, you know, Paul was talking about giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father. Can you hear me? I'm dead meat. Hello? My phone's on. Not the phone, but... it's still on. No, it's just a bad time. Bad connection. Good, good on the
we're back.
Again.
Again.
It's a hot topic tonight.
It's a hot topic.
And the devil doesn't want the word to get out that on how to defeat him by being faithful. We are continuing to have a smile on our face.
That's it.
We are continuing to be victorious. And
amen.
It just doesn't matter.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And this is a trial. This is a trial. This is a trial. And so what's happening is we're not getting to the point where we're frustrated. Man, what's wrong with this thing? I'm proud of this. Blah, blah, blah. I'm paying good money for this. Blah, 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 blah. It's like it's just a trial. And we understand there's a spiritual warfare going on. And that the enemy has the ability to manifest himself as an angel of light.
Okay.
So in other words, he has the ability to cause some things in this world to go astray.
Right.
And so what we have to do is we have to continue to walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to not allow those challenges to get in the way so we get to the point where we're mad and frustrated and we just say, well, I ain't just going to Bible study. I ain't doing no more. I'm tired of dialing in. It ain't going to happen. I'm mad. Whatever, whatever.
That's right.
Then check out.
That's right.
In other words, we could have hit the wall and just said, all right, well, we're just not going to do it anymore.
Okay.
But we're going to hit the wall, but we're going to go to plan A.
Amen.
We're going to go to plan B. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to plan C. And I know my God sees the beginning from the end.
Well,
and we're going to be patient.
And we're going to be patient. And
with
I'm going to
smile on our faces
while I'm going through.
All right.
Right.
So let's see if we can go to the phone lines once again. And we're going to try 1741. 1741, you're on air.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey,
hi,
how
Pastor
you doing?
Gregory, Pastor Kayson.
Hello.
And First Lady.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but anyway, I thank God just to get through because we know it's the enemy. He don't want us to have Bible study anyway.
That's right.
So faith keep you dialing in no matter what you go through. Faith keep you listening. Because we know God's word is going to go forth.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. We're going to try to go to 3116.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. We are enjoying this. We switched telephones. We're in here.
And we're being... That's all right.
Your daddy and your mama. Big brother.
And one thing.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing well. God bless you. We're reminded that he's going to let us know his will, because you know if it's not his way, it's not his will. So we do it his way.
That's right.
We know we're doing his will, and he's going to allow us to fulfill that purpose.
All right. Well, thank you.
Amen.
All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, we're going to go to 8481. 8481, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad, and that's why patience comes in, because I know this is going to have trouble with the lines. So I kept calling, and I said, okay, something wrong. You call again.
That's right.
Amen.
Remember, you were talking about with the keyboard, and I was one of those members like, well, Pastor keep bringing his keyboard every Sunday. But like I said, being around positive people, and, you know, kept putting it up. And like I said, we got a keyboard player. So, you know, like I said, that's when patience comes in.
Right. That's right.
Exactly. We thank you for calling in. We're going to go to 9016. 9016. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. How you doing?
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, this is Billy.
Hey, what's going on, Billy?
Hey, Pastor K-Son.
So what's your testimony about having that faith and keeping the faith?
I have many.
Yeah, many.
Yes. The one I always think about is when I was dealing with the Tennessee case, the conspiracy charge, and my parents drove back and forth. And it took nothing but faith to get out of that situation, faith and prayer. And
right.
That's why I say I thank God for my parents.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Well, we thank you for calling in. We're going to keep the faith. But Sheila G., the thing that I like about James is you get to a point where you're saying, all right, I'm hitting the wall, God. I've done X, Y, Z. I keep hitting the wall, man. Mm-hmm. I keep hitting the wall. You know, it's getting hard. I'm struggling. What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? It's like I can't get to the next place. And what God says is, okay, you got to this place by faith.
Amen.
You got to this place by trusting me.
Mm-hmm.
What God says is now you got to this place, you got to continue to trust me.
Right.
And one of the things is we do is we forget that God is just waiting for us to ask him.
All right.
How about that?
Tell him. That's right.
And we'll go everywhere.
Come on.
We'll go to Dr. Phil.
All right.
We'll go to Oprah.
Mm.
We'll go to so-called friends. We'll go to Brother Man Fifth Floor.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to Sister Girl. And James says, look, in verse 5.
In verse 5, there it is.
In verse 5, he says, if any lack wisdom, what do you have to do?
Let him ask of God.
And is God going to be stingy?
Mm-mm.
We
no,
got all of us got some stingy
liberal.
Friends. All of us got some stingy friends. Shout out to the stingy friends.
Hey, shout out to the stingy friends.
Shout out to the stingy friends.
Hey,
huh? Yeah. You ask them, they might give you a little something the first time. But when you come back around again, they be like, nah, man, I ain't going to be able to help you out with that. Oh, you talk to your girlfriend. She said, oh, okay, I'm going to call you right back.
Wait.
Can't talk right now.
Yeah. And then they hit you what had happened was. Right. But God's not like that. It says that if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God to give it to all men liberally.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, God's not holding back. God's got a shovel full, a pitcher full. He got a universe full of resource.
Yes.
Well,
yes. Amen.
That's exactly what you need.
Uh-huh.
That is the key word. Say that again. Exactly what you need. Say it again.
Exactly what you need.
Need or did you say want?
No, exactly what you need.
You said need or did you say want?
Need.
Because a lot of times what happens, though, people will go and ask the Lord what they want.
What they want.
And if the Lord says no or wait.
It's not what you need.
It's not what I need. But if the Lord says no or wait, then I'm going to go to Brother Man and Sister Sue and ask them. I'm going to ask whoever I need to ask to tell me what I want to hear.
Right.
And we just have to be patient and say sometimes God is going to say yes, no, or wait.
Right.
He's going to answer.
Right.
He's going to make sure you get exactly what you need.
Exactly.
And sometimes what you want, but not all.
But he's got it.
But he's going to give you the answer.
And
sometimes the answer is no.
No. And see, that's the wisdom.
Exactly.
The wisdom is the ability to use knowledge correctly.
Right.
Hello.
And so what God is going to say, God is going to say is, look, you're asking from me, and I'm going to give it to you what you need.
Right.
But I got to teach you a little bit of wisdom on how to use that thing.
Correct.
I just can't give it to you right now.
Because that's what you
Because you'll mess it up.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. And a lot of times when things happen to us or when we're going through these and we're praying to the Lord, help me, why am I going through this? A lot of times we should turn that thing around and say, okay, Lord, there's a reason why you're not giving this to me.
Right.
Or there's a reason why I've tried to do everything I tried to do today to get to work on time, but for some reason I'm not getting out of this door on time. But you know what, Lord, if I had gone at a certain time, there may have been an accident.
Right.
So maybe you were keeping me out of danger,
and
I didn't
wisdom,
know that.
And that's wisdom. And then the other thing is, God said, don't ask if you don't want the answer.
Ouch. The real answer. Right. Don't ask if you just want. And then tell me how to answer.
Oh, my goodness. Tell God.
Okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you, and this is what the answer I want you to give me.
And don't ask if you're not going to walk in faith on that thing.
Come on. Come on.
So in verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Right. Say it again.
Don't ask if you're not going to have the faith to carry it out. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so, in other words, he
says,
don't get wishy-washy. You say, Lord, give me the strength. Lord, give me the strength to be able to move mountains. And you say, okay, you need the strength to move mountains. I'm going to need you to go to this training, this faith training,
mm-hmm.
to build up your muscles so you can move that mountain.
Right.
But I don't want to.
No, but I want to move the mountain now.
Lord have mercy. But you're not strong enough.
I don't care. You are.
So but I'm going to need you to go to be able to get strong enough.
You do it. But faith without works is dead.
It's dead.
So we have to work. We can't just be lazy like some of our children tend to be and just
Uh-oh.
Want everybody to do it for you.
Uh-oh.
God is like, I'll give you the strength.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you what you need, but you got to get off of your you-know-what and work.
Wow. So you mean I can't be wishy-washy?
Nope.
You mean I can't be faithful on Sunday morning and then Sunday afternoon? I'm like, nah, that's all right, man.
Check this out.
Huh?
No, you can't just fit God in.
Oh. You mean I can't fit God in
at 8 o'clock?
In. And then at 10 o'clock, turn him loose.
Got to be with you 24/7.
Wow.
Even when you want to go to sleep, you got to get up and do what it is to be committed and show your commitment to serving and praising the Lord.
So James is telling people, and James is talking to Christians. He's saying in verse 8, he's saying a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, he's saying, you ain't right. You ain't right.
No, you put your Christian coat on when you feel like it, and then take
right.
it off.
He said, if you're going to ask for God and say, God, give me this strength, give me the faith, and then you're going to start walking in it, and God said, okay, I need you to do them 25 push-ups right there.
Right.
And you say, look here, God, I want to be strong, but I ain't feeling them 25, man.
Not right now.
What about the buffet quiz, Tristan?
Watch out.
Where, you know, you got a table full of trials and tribulations,
and
you're going to tell the Lord, I want that trial, I want that tribulation, but don't give me that one, and don't give me that one. It's just like a little buffet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like
Lord,
that.
Lord, I tell you what trials and tribulations
I don't
give
like
me
that.
To work patient.
But James, Dr. G, when he says a double-minded man is stable in all his ways, basically, what he's saying, don't be trifling.
Amen. Wishy-washy.
Consistent.
How many trifling saints do we have?
Mm-hmm.
Too many to count.
Trifling.
Too many to count.
If you're unstable in all your ways, you're trifling.
Amen. 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 Keep it real.
Amen.
Am I right?
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Amen. You're trifling.
Amen.
Because what? I can't depend on it.
No.
Nope. One day you got faith.
And one day you don't.
The same afternoon you don't have faith.
That's right.
I don't even go day to day no more.
And then it depends.
it depends on who you're talking to.
That's the kind of stuff that it makes it frustrating for those that do have faith and are trying to teach and preach and lead you according to what the Lord says. But we have to stay faithful and be obedient in spite of.
Oh, Lord.
Right. That's right.
Them trifling people.
Trifling. Double-minded.
Come on.
Where are you going to be double-minded? It's like when James, and I love it, later on, I think it's chapter 3, he said, how are you going to have salt water and fresh water coming out the same mouth?
Uh-huh.
How about that?
How are you going to cuss me out and then bless me?
All right.
At the same time.
Out the same mouth.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And how are you going to be nice to this person but mean to that person? And you really, and just because of your emotions and how you quote-unquote feel, you're still a child of God.
So James is saying, let's get real, people. James is saying, look, let's stop being trifling. If you're going to be about this faith thing, be about this faith thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be trifling, just be trifling.
Go on, be trifling. Rather, don't be lukewarm.
Right, don't be lukewarm.
You make me sick. That's what he said.
He's saying, stop being double-minded. You can't do it both. You can't have it both ways.
Yep.
So this is what he's saying. He's saying, this is practical. Apply it to your life. Stop being wishy-washy. Stop thinking that it's about you. Stop getting your feelings hurt over every little thing that happened. Well, he said this to
right.
me. She said this to me.
Right.
I'm not getting this. I ain't
mm-hmm.
getting this.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Here's the pacifier.
Right. Get the Desitin. Get the Pampa.
And here's your binky.
Take care of your binky. What?
Toughen up.
What?
Toughen
he said you're going to have some stuff you're going to go
it's
through. You're going to hit the wall. It's going to be some trials.
And you don't get to choose what it is.
Mm-mm.
It's not about faith.
No. That's not faith. If you get to choose what you're going to go through, that's not walking in faith.
Exactly. So, oh my gosh. So what it all comes down to is this is an everyday life thing that we're doing.
Amen.
That's right.
It's everyday life. It's not something that you just pick up on Sunday morning
mm-hmm.
and drop off on Sunday afternoon.
Amen.
Right.
We got to live this thing 24/7.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows life is filled with ups
and
downs.
Down.
Who is that guy that Forrest Gump, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Life is like a
box
of
chocolate.
You never know what you're going to get, right?
Right.
And then he said, stupid is and what?
It's stupid
does. So we have to walk in faith.
Mm-hmm.
We have to walk in a place where we're saying, okay, God, I'm not having a good day,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to go shoot up the whole school.
No. Amen.
No. No, I'm just going to go into prayer and
I'm
ask
gonna go
help me
prayer.
Get through.
I'm going to turn to you. I know you got the resource. I know you're trying to teach me something. Even though I'm not feeling it, I'm still going to try to learn.
I'll turn my gospel music up real loud.
I'm still going to praise God.
Yeah.
Even
yes.
though you have got on my last nerve.
Yes. Yes.
I'm still going to praise God.
Amen.
That is the key. Praise him anyhow.
I'm still going to praise
him. Anyhow.
That's it. Even though you came home and you knew the project was due.
Yes.
A month ago.
Yes.
Well.
And here it is the night before.
Right.
And you telling me you need, you need, you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Well.
We all been there, right?
Amen.
So you saying God is still good?
Yes, he's good. He's
I'm not gonna tear my face up. I'm not gonna tear my face up.
I'm gonna suck it up and do what I have to do.
Amen. And so. This is what James says. Stop being double-minded. Stop acting like, you know, you this high and mighty around this person, but you turn the corner and you're acting like crazy.
Mm.
And stop complaining. Woe is me. Life's so horrible. Life is crazy. Just stop complaining. Because when you complain, that just makes your situation worse. Because you're just calling it up. Mm-hmm. Keep on complaining. Keep on. In a minute, you're going to be right in my hand.
And what happens is complaining never changes the situation.
It doesn't change anything.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't change a thing. Except for make you miserable.
That's why you need to choose praise over complaining.
That's right. Say, thank you, Lord. Anyway.
Because the praise will help you get into the spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Complaining going to get you into the flesh.
That's right,
which is what the devil wants you to. That's why he wants you. And that's why you shouldn't go around complaining people when you're
oh,
not doing well.
My goodness.
Mm. Call the most positive person you know.
So, well, y'all, we didn't ran our course tonight.
Yeah.
But it was good. But we want everyone to study the book of James. It's a practical thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing of being able to say, this is real. James is keeping it real.
Amen.
He's not one of them ones that's going to give you this lofty, lofty stuff. He's going to say, look, man, you're going through hard times. Get to do those push-ups so you can get strong to go over there.
That's
Stop
right.
crying.
That's right.
Pump them out.
That's right.
Do the push-up. I know it burns. I know what you got to go through. Stop crying. Stop being stable.
And put a smile on
your face. Put a smile on your face. Get down, drop down, and give me 25 so we can get over here.
And keep it moving.
Amen.
Amen.
James not going to give you any sympathy.
And don't be wishy-washy.
Don't be wishy-washy.
Or trifling, as you said.
Amen. Trifling. All right, Dr. G, you going to close us out.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this another evening that we have studied your word, Lord. We thank you for the book of James. We pray now, Lord, that we've studied some things that will help us to do things in a practical way in which you want. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for those that have come out to the studio. We thank you for those that have called in.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Lord, we ask that you would continue to watch over us and keep us in perfect peace. Father, until we're able to come together again, we continue to give you all glory and honor. We ask it all right now in the precious name. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night. See you next Thursday night. Oh, my goodness.